This is a highly gimmick.
We are the Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. Amachir Bayit Mechaviro, second Mishnah. Amachir Bayit Mechaviro, Amachir Chayav Bedelet, Beneger, Vamanu, the whole of our Shema'aseh Una. If somebody rents out a home to someone else, then the homeowner is responsible for a door, for a bolt on the door, which is put in from the inside. So you put the bolt across into the threshold to prevent the door from opening. A manul, or it could be like a padlock that can be locked from the outside. Behold, davar shemaaseh uman, in anything which requires a professional to do. Aval davar sheino maaseh uman, anything which is not part of a professional need, so something that a homeowner generally does on his own, ha-socher oseh, the renter is responsible for that. Ha-zevel shoba ala bayit, ve'en la-socher ala hayotzi min ha-tanur min ha-kirayim bilvat. Zevel, which would include essentially manure, but as the Mishnah points out, there was like a compost heap that was kept in the chotzer. So here the Gemara is going to explain why this would be true. Any manure that's found there belongs to the owner of the house, not to the renter. And what the renter has is only the parts that come out of his own tanur and kirayim, which is his oven and his stovetop. So that's also usable to mix with his zevah, and that belongs to him. And we'll see, the Gemara is going to discuss how it works out exactly, and who did it belong to, the chotzer. Tamar Avonim, Hamasir Bayit Lechaviron, Masir Chayav Lahamid Lo Dvatot, Lishorach Lo Chalonot, Lechazek Lo Tikra, Lishmok Lo Korah. Somebody who rents out a house, the homeowner is responsible to put in the correct kind of doors, to open up more windows if necessary. Let's say this had been a warehouse, somebody now is renting it for purposes of living. He doesn't even have to specify. He can demand that windows be put in so there be sufficient light, because it's part of renting a place for residents. The owner is also responsible for seeing to it that the ceiling is in good shape, and that if there's any weak beams, he has to take care of the weakened beams. The renter is hired, so Kerkei Avla Soklo Sulam, he has to make a ladder to get up to the roof. This is not referring to a ladder to get up to the second story, to an aliyah, that's part of the house. But this is just an occasional thing that, you know, so you can put together something. La'asot lo ma'akeh, to build a railing around the roof. La'asot lo marzeh, to make a gutter. Now in those days, the gutter was very much a ma'aseh hadyot. You didn't need to call a gutter company to make a gutter, because all they used was a piece of wood that extended outward from the slope of the roof, and which would then force the ring away from the wall. It wasn't a complicated pipe-like affair.
This is all stuff that the rentee has to do.
This is the non-professional stuff, so the renter has to do it.
The person who rents it.
Yeah, the person's going to be living there. Ulahatiyak at Gago, and also he's the one that's responsible for tarring the roof. Or in those days, they could whitewash, and that keeps the building cool and so on. So that's something that is always done non-professionally by the person who lives there. Who is responsible for the mezuzah? Mezuzah, everybody knows that. Amrav Misharshim, Mizuzah Ovat Hadari. I mean, everybody knows that it's a responsibility. We learn that out of a prophet. And it's the one who's living there that has to put in the mezuzah. What kind of question is that? No. The question that they were asking was Mekom Mizuzah Amir. Who is the one that has to engrave or has to chisel out the plate for the mezuzah? That's the question. Shaker said, well, I mean, it's not included in the Mishnah. Anything that doesn't require craftsmen can be done by the renter, the person who's living there. It's not considered to be a Maaseh Uman, is it? Why not? Because, see, we're talking about, even when we're dealing with something like this, which is so How does a guy who's not a chiseler, how does he know how to do that without cracking the stone? Because Efsharu Begufa Dekanya, it's possible for him to put it inside of a mezuzah cover and to hang the mezuzah cover on the door. So therefore, a Gufa Dekanya actually means a hollowed out piece of reed, which makes a nice mezuzah cover, especially if you cut out the little part where it says the shame, you know, a little piece of glass in it. And you charge a lot of money for it. And by the way, this raises an interesting issue, which is the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, which direction is the mezuzah supposed to be? The mezuzah is supposed to be upright. And Tosfos says from here it's Masha, the mezuzah is supposed to be upright, because in the group that Akani or somebody can hold it upright. Whereas if the mezuzah, as I and Tosfos said, is supposed to be lying on its side and not upright, then it would be on a shelf. Why would you need to hold it in a group that Akani? But you know, he says, well, but maybe it just means a Gufa Dekanya in order to protect it from the elements and so on. And not my problem.
Okay, you put it on the side.
Yeah, that's why Ashkenazim put it to the devotion. Tosfos points out that putting something, he brings rice to the Gemara, putting something up, down, is considered to be a Bizonian. I can get it.
I didn't know.
Thank you so much. Somebody who rents out a home to someone, that person who's renting it has to make the mezuzah, and when he's leaving the house, he cannot take the mezuzah off. I mean, not free, but if the owner is a goy, not labi ado viyose, then he can pick it up and take it off from the wall and walk out with it. There was once the story of someone who took a mezuzah off at the end of his rental, the kavari shoshnebanav, and ended up burying his wife and his two children. My family story, I thought you just said it's okay to take it off. On the Shesh HaReish, this is going back on the first part, where the owner is a Jew, you're not supposed to take it off. And so it explains that the issue over here is not a question of whether you're, for instance, allowed to pick up tzitzit from one beggar to another. That's a question which Tosfos points out. And over there, we could still say Shmuel says you're allowed to pick up tzitzit from one beggar to another. Why can't you take off a mezuzah from one house to another? What's the big deal? He explains because the mezuzah, since a bayit sheyesh for mezuzah is protected from mazikim, so by your taking it off, it's as if you're allowing the next people that come into the house to be damaged. Therefore, the Mida Kenega Mida was that he was damaged. Yeah, but it's not the owner's business. Because we learn out of a pasuk that it's the one who lives there that is the one who has to take care of the business. But it's interesting, the Ritva puts it slightly differently. The Ritva puts it purely negatively in terms of Mazik, and the Ritva says that it's an Indian of Hashrat Hashima. When the mezuzah is on a door, so it brings kedusha to the home. You take the mezuzah off of the door, then you're turning the house into a secular place. And the mail of Mazik can get
you. What about the if you move somewhere else,
yes. Not only that, you could even charge the guy for your mezuzah.
But you can take them quick.
Sure.
Home.
Yeah. Okay. So this is the mocker of the idea of checking your mezuzahs. Okay,
it's not just the bike.
No. You can switch anything. As long as you give him a mezuzah. That's okay. Or you can charge him for your mezuzah. He's responsible for you. The next time. When I said this is a mocker of checking your mezuzah, obviously I don't mean this is a mocker of the field to check your mezuzah. And this is where the superstitious element comes. You know, they say something happens in the house, check the mezuzah. Because the mezuzah protects you from mazik and some of the mail of it. Continues the Mishnah. Now, the Mayaskina, when you say that the owner owns the manure, what's he talking about? We're talking about a chotzer that he had rented out along with the house to the renter, and the renter owns these animals. Why in the world should it belong to the Balabayit? אלא בחצר זה לא הגיר על הסופר. ותראי זה מזכיר, זה talking about a חצר that was not rented out, and the שברים that are depositing this manure are belonging to the one who owns the house, and then it's obvious. And with the Mishnah tells us where Pshita. Lo Tzricha, the Chatzir, the Maskir, is talking about a case where he did not rent out the Chatzir along with the house. Vituri, the Otu Me'alma, Kamuvan, is talking about Shvarim, where people allow their Shvarim into the house. He doesn't mind that they're in the Chatzir. So the idea over here is that any manure that they deposit will belong to him to be able to use for fertilizer. A person's chotzer can acquire ownership for him even though he's not aware of the fact that at this particular moment there is a cow that's giving him a gift. Now, as we'll talk about, and as we've spoken about many times before, a chotzer still has to be a chotzer on the shtamer. So we've got to be talking about a case either where he also lives in one of the houses surrounding the chotzer. Remember, the chotzer meant the way a chotzer means here in Yerushalayim, and we have houses around the chotzer. So maybe the owner of the house that was being rented out also lives in this chotzer. So it is a chotzer mishtamer. Or it could simply be that the renter is taking his place, has been appointed to use the chotzer in his place and keep an eye on the chotzer for him. But it's certainly not a chotzer she'ena mishtamer. It's a closed chotzer and the people know what's going on over there. It's just that he doesn't know that it was deposited there. The Brayta says, if an owner of a chotzer says that anything that wanders in there today, say a wounded animal comes in there or something, my chotzer should be kona it, doesn't mean a darn thing. And why not? If Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina is correct, he needs some other Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, chatziro shel adam konelo shelo midaato, amaylo amaklo. He says that a person's chotzer, the guy doesn't have to know that anything's in there. So why does his statement in advance that I intend to be kona anything that does come in there, why doesn't that help if he doesn't need to know? No, I'm talking about over there a chotzer that isn't washed. Chotzer isn't washed, even if you know about it. It's not going to be kona for you. That can't be. I'll tell you what it says in the safe, you'll see that's wrong. Here it says, if word gets out in the city that something has gotten into his chotzer, for everybody notices there's an elephant there that wasn't there before, so then it works. It helps that he said my chotzer should be kona for me. But if a chotzer shein mishtameres, the only thing that this addresses is the fact that he knows about it, because we can assume that since word has gotten out and everybody knows there's a white elephant in there, so he also knows. So Manila is no longer shalomi da'ato. So what does it add? According to you, that it's talking about a chotzer shein mishtameres. So then what's the difference if it was yotzer shein mishtameres? No, you're missing the whole point. He doesn't have to know about it at all. It's a chotzer she'ena mishtameres. But the point over here is, once word gets around that there's a white elephant in his rishus, so kivan the yotzer lo she'ena mishtameres, nivdo b'dilei in shirine, people will not touch it, because everybody knows that it belongs to him. Nobody's going to go in there and have everybody talk to you. He went in there to get out of his rishus. Or there's another issue over here that Lamaita Rishonim bring up, which is, we saw in Brachos, when you find a valuable material or win a lottery, you have to make two brachas. One is Hatov Ameti, but the other one is Baruch Dynamis, because the IRS is going to come after you and look for everything. So I mean, nobody's going to touch it because the word got out. Right? So Manela, it's considered at that point to be the equivalent of a Chatzer HaMishtameret. Zevel HaYotzei Min HaTanur U'Min HaKirayim. Any now garbage that is taken out of the oven or from the stovetop, now this would be leftover ash and so on that he's going to mix into his zevel pile. No, it's only because the, and I'm glad you raised that point, it's only because the manure is considered to be hefker. That was what we said, that stam manure, that poor nitkarinchi, the Gemara said before. The case that you were talking about is a wounded animal that comes in from Hefka. It's like a deer that's wounded. Of course, you can't be coded from somebody else without the bath of the machna. It's only Hefka that will be coded. So now, it says over here that Zevel Ayotse Minat Rumur Minat Yurai Vakolate Bina Avir, and something that he gets from the airspace, that Hareo Shalom. But anything that is in the refet, in the barn, or in the chaser, belongs to the Baal HaBayit. Now again,
if I have a cow, so what manure does belong to me?
Well, we said that it's talking about cows that don't belong to you, but that come in from the outside. So you might think that since you're the one who's living there and taking care of the chaser, that you might get the rights to the manure, kamash v'lan, that it goes to the owner.
That's just accidentally.
Well, either accidentally or he's allowed to come in because he wants the manure.
But any version is yours.
So now, he needs to order of yes, the Tanina, Dama Katero, Shalom, Ponelo, Shalom, Idato. If Rav Yosef Rebbe Chanina is correct in saying that a person doesn't have to know what falls into his rishus in order to be koneh, so then if this guy gets something from the air, so let's say he picks up the manure before it hits the ground, right? He's got a little collection bag over there, right? Well, you have to do that in New York, in Paris, right? So he's got a little collection bag. No, not a scooper, because a scooper will be after it lands on the ground, right?
No.
So then, according to this, Amayo Reo Shalom, why would it say that he has a right to the manure himself? Avir Katerohu. This would be the airspace of his father, and his airspace should be Koneh. This, he'll tell me, because he doesn't know about it. Okay, so I understand, but according to Yossi, he does know about it. Omer Abayit b'madbik kli b'shulei paraz. Talking about over here that he sticks the bag, the collection bag, right to the bottom of the parah, so that there is no time in which it enters into the reshus of the chaser, and the avir of the chaser. It goes straight from parah into bag.
Especially
in New York,
with the bags in the back of the horses.
Yeah.
The horse
in the airspace. As opposed to inside the container that belongs to somebody else. So the thing is that the container that he's holding is his. So if he holds that container up against the body of the para, so then it's all right. He's so net. Yeah, it would never enter the airspace. It entered a clue. It entered the airspace, and then that's part of the cluster airspace within our talk. Rava says, Avir She'in Sofola Nuach Lachim Unardami. Rava says, it doesn't matter, even if it does enter the airspace, as long as it never lands on the ground, because since it was an airspace that wasn't meant to land, it's not Koneh. And only something that is going to land, in other words, if something is passing through an airspace, you can't be Koneh. So something has been thrown through your chaser, and then somebody on the other side grabs it, you can't, and you say, I want to be Koneh that, as it's going through, you can't be Koneh because it's not going to land in your chaser. It's only in the airspace of your chaser. Wait, is that so precious to Rava? It's more of a Pshitulei Rava. I thought Rava was the one who raised that question. Rami Boy Rava was the one who raised the question, the boy Rava. Zorak Arniki v'petach zeh. V'yatta v'petach zeh. Mahu. Somebody now who throws a wallet on one side of a chaser and it goes out on the other side of the chaser. Do we say, Avir she'ein sofo lanuach k'munakadami? Olaf kumunavdami. What is the halacha lagavi hanacha? Is it considered to be in that chaser or not? You're right. Over there, the question was where there was nothing between the ground and the wall. The only thing is that there was so much inertia that had been imparted now to the wall, it's for movement, it maintained its movement and went out through the other door. But there was nothing in the way. Over here, the Kli is in the way. Now the question is whether the airspace is airspace. There, Rava is motive that airspace over a Kli, where gravity is pulling it down, that's not considered to be airspace, because it's not considered to be in the Chotzer at all. It's in the airspace of a Kli, not in the Chotzer. Also, mystic Kli. Okay, now you're saying Shabarefet, Shabachatzer, Rino Shabalabai. What do you mean Refet and Bachatzer? I mean, what are you telling me? Two different points. Parsi, you need to say both of these things, Refet and Chatzer. What exactly are you adding by saying these things? So, you could say one, and it would be clear the other one. I'm telling you not, we said it, has to talk about that he hadn't rented it out. No, Rabbi, it's only the Kiddush, Shofakamak. It's one case. It's Shabarefet Shabachatzer. Harei Elo Shabalabai. If there is a barn in the chotzer, then in the barn everything belongs to the balabayit, which, as Rav Ashi points out, tells us an important halacha ladina. Zot omeret hamaskir chatzeros stam lo yiskirefet shabbat. So Rav is telling us that even if it was a chotzer that didn't belong to him, but the refet was not included in the rental of the chotzer. That's an important point. May say. Yonei Shovah v'yonei Aliyah hayavot b'shivuach. If you have birds, pigeons, that normally go out to eat from just what they find out in fields around town, but they come and they live at night, they have their nest in your dove cot or in your Aliyah, you know, where the rafters of your roof and so on. Over there, if you want to take those eggs, then you have to be Mekayim Shiluach HaKim on them, because that's considered to be Ki Karei Tantipor. In other words, it's not as if they are Mizumanot for you. The Asurot Begezel, nonetheless, they are considered to be Asur and Gezel, even though we're saying they're not really yours, but Mipnei Darkei Shalom, they're Asur and Gezel. There's the people who are going to get into fights if people come over and take things that generally roost in their roof. So the Neila, the Chachomim, where it goes there, that Bifnei Darkei Shalom, it's as if you own it. But why, according to Rabbi Yossi Ber Rabbi Chanina, do you not own it? Minito other Rabbi Yossi Ber Rabbi Chanina, Tar Chatzero Shel Adam Konelo Shalomi Da'ato. So then, why are you Chayev and Shiluach HaKein? Kri Kan, Ki Yikarei Kan Tzipor, Prat V'Mizuman. Only something that you don't own is considered to be chiyav and shiluach hakein, chayav and shiluach hakein. Why then are you chayav according to Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Chanina? And why is it only a strip together in the darkei shalom? My Rava says, Rava, what do you say? It's very simple. Beitza b'tziat uba udi chayav la b'shiluach. The moment that most of the egg has been laid, it's considered to be a beitza, in which case at that point it's separate from the mother. At that moment, he becomes chayav now at shiluach hakein if he wants the egg. And when it comes to being kona'it, that's dafka mitna lokanya adenokon lechatzero. He's only going to be kona'it when the egg falls onto the chotze, or it's onto the net. V'chikatoni chayavot v'shiluach mikanei v'tipo lechatzero. When do we say that your chayav and shiluach hakein? That's dafka before it actually falls into your chotzer. This is a fascinating figure since it's playing on the interrelationship between Cain and Kenyan. Which of course is profoundly related. So, it's before it falls into the chotzer. So then if that's the case, why is it asur mishum gezel? So am I asur mishum gezel? And then over here, I mean, it never even was in his chotzer. No, that part is referring to the mother. Ha'ima, it's the mother that's chayav and gezel. In other words, the gezel in terms of darkei shalom is going on the mother. If the egg hasn't been laid yet, then obviously that's not what we're talking about. Or maybe we are, I don't know, maybe we all have big team. Maybe even the eggs are considered to be ultimate darkei shalom, because minanapik ruba darkei aluya. Once most of the egg has come out, the owner, the person's home in which it's being laid already desires to become the egg for himself. Since we're not talking about real kinyan over here, we're talking about darkei shalom, so he's ready to fight. He'd fight a mile for an egg. And therefore, we made our takonah. Yom Rav Yom Rav, Asur Lezakot Bedeitim. Actually, Yom Rav Yom Rav, Asur Lezakot Bedeitim. Because man, Sha'im Rovetet Alayhem, Shenera, Shalaya Kishalach at Ha'im, and only then, at Avanim Tikatla. So now that we know that you're not even allowed to be Zocha in an egg while the mother is Rovetet on the egg, because that's part of the Kiyav of Shiloh HaKeim. Et abanim tikach lach, the children, including the eggs, is the Gemara Darshan. Tikach lach means make a kinyan for yourself, only after shayach b'shalach atayim. So now, afilu teimen enough for lolach atziro, even in a case where it had already been laid, kol heicha di'yu mati zachi lech atziro zachi lech. Only where he himself has a right to be zoka in it, does his chatzir act on his behalf to be yotzei in it. But where he himself, he's prohibited in being zoka in it, because he'll be over on the chiyuv of shaleach kishalach, so therefore chatzir onani lo zaki alei. And who's that? But then he's asking Yashirot, what do you think? Either shalcha. If you're talking about that he was Mekayim Shiloh HaKeim, then it is real Gezel. And Gezel Ma'ayu, because he was Kohen. And now you're saying that the eggs were already laid. Vida Lo Shalcha. And if he hadn't sent it away, Havai Shalucha. Then you need Shiluach before he would be able to be Kohen. The other guy is also going to have to be doing the Shiluach. So then, what are we talking about? If he hadn't done it yet, so then, How could we talk about an issue of Gezel? It's a lot worse than that. I mean, whoever takes it is going to be over on it. The issue of the Arisa over here of Shiloh HaKeim. The person who takes it also is going to be over. But we're talking about a Kofan. Not Bar Shiloh. Here the owner is a Kofan. Kofan Bar Dake Shalom? So what? So the Kofan is going to come at you with a pitchfork? I mean, what's the Dake Shalom? It's taking candy from David. And he had the Kofan. Aviv Shal Katan. And the point over here is the father, who of course takes the side of the child. Somebody who rents out a house for a year, now it turns out that the year ends up being a month longer than you thought, because Bezin is mostly for Chodesh. He's Abra Shana, it's Abra La Socher. Because the rental was in terms of years, not in terms of months, if the year gets pregnant, so does the renter. Yisirlo lechodashim, but if he rented it out by months, nitabra shana, nitabra lamatir. Then, if the year is a mu'uber, then the owner now gets the benefit of the extra month, because he never talked about years, he talked about months. Now, there was a story in Tiporu where somebody went ahead and rented a bathhouse from a guy for 12 months, and this is what the deal was. Name Asa Zahav Lishana. It was for 12 Dinar Zahav a year. Dinar Zahav Lakodesh. For one Dinar Zahav a month. Ubama Selik Ne Rabban Yamshina Ne Gamliel Ne Rabbi Yossi. The Amru, they said, Yachaloku et Chodesh Ha'ibur. They should split that extra month. Now, wait a minute. Ma'aseli Shoran, it's now you're bringing us the proof that the Reisha is wrong. So the Reisha said, depending on the case, it goes to the Socher or the Master. And they're saying you split it. Well, that's, I mean, which one is it? But you didn't say that. You're bringing a mitzvah that doesn't address the case that's mentioned in the Reisha of the Sefer. We have to put this in as a chisuri mechatzah. Lohi katani. The Reisha also includes this possibility, of course. So it's imam arlo b'shem atar zuvim l'shana midine zav l'kodesh yachloku. Because if you have both l'shonas, since we're misupak, if we hold a tfos l'shon rishon or tfos l'shon acharon, which one is the definitive statement over here, we split it. Umas. And now, the Tipori that touches the Chamer Chasmi Chavero, the Shema Tazavim Lashama, Midin is Abba Kodesh, Ubama, Selef Nerachim Nagamliel, Nerav Yonti, Vaomru Yachaloku, Et Kodesh Ha'ibu. Says Rav, well, I'll tell you one thing, Yavoy Yosef, if I would have been there, Havi Yavina Lake Lilan Amatsir, I would have had the owner collect the whole rent for that additional month. So, I mean, what's he saying? Micro Marshall and Torso Shamacharon. What? He's telling us again his famous Shita, that you always follow the last formulation in a contract. So therefore, because this last thing you said was one dinner per month, we know this already. Amar Rav Chodesh Yimnan, the rabbi said this before. Amar Ravun Amri De Rav, Yisira Me'amari. Now, an Yisira, a normal Yisira is worth 96 Pusat. Now, you can have a somewhat heavy Yisira that's worth 100 Pusat. You can have crummy Pusat, in which 100 Pusat are only worth 96 Yisira. So if a guy, you're arguing with somebody about a price, and the guy says, look, the price is an Yisira, 100 Mos. And you agree on that price. So then, Me'amari, then you pay 100 Mos, which means that you're giving him now the value of a heavy-duty Yisira. On the other hand, if you say, Me'amari, Yisira, so you're fighting with him and saying, look, it's 100 Pusat, an Yisira. Then you pay him an Yisira, which is only 96 Pusat. So that's Rav that says that a formulation always follows the last part. No, it doesn't prove anything, because that formulation in the Asahavim of Perushikam of Farish, I might have thought that he's explaining what type of Yisira he means in that case. Not that it's a different discussion. Not that he's come back and he says, well, I really want 100 money. Or, okay, I'll settle for 96. He's talking one thing. He's saying, I want an Yisira that weighs 100 miles. That's what he's saying. That's what I would have thought. Okay, so Marshall and Rob, now he's saying, no. You look at the final formulation. He's talking about a normal Yisira. He's talking about normal modes. And what he's saying is, he changed his mind. And which one is definitive? The last one. In that case, in our mission, what was the last statement? Dinners of a month. Get fine. An extra month. Pay him an extra month. Shmuel says, the whole issue over here is talking about with a guy with Bob and Sarkodesh. When it says Yakloku over here, it's talking about over here, not because we're going like some kind of thing that we should split the money. It's talking about a case where we came in mid-month. So now, half of the month he already took, so to speak. So he's a muktzah in that. He hasn't paid for it. We can get him to pay for it. But the other, because the muktzah of Erel of Araya. But on the other hand, the muktzah of Erel of Araya works the other way for the rest of the month. In which the owner can say, look, you're not sure if you're going to pay? Very nice. Leave the house.
The 13th month?
Yeah. Right? So we're in mid-month. That's why you're local. It's not because the general didn't have got local. Because we've been mistaken, it's because over here we have a problem of a mitzvah of all of a riot. We're talking about mid-month. Therefore, he gets half because he already took half, and the other person gets half because right now he can throw it on. Abu Babit Chilat Chodesh, if he had come at the beginning of the month to collect, and he says, look, it was a deal for 12 months. I said per month, so out you go. Then fine, a little month here. Then the guy, if he wants to stay, he's going to have to pay. If he comes at the end of the month, when the guy already used the month, and he says, the owner says, well, I thought we made a deal at per month. He says, no, you said a year. So how's he going to get any money out of him? So in that case, kula la soker. There the soker would be the mukh. Me on my Shmuel, lo amin, tlis v'shon acharon. So you're telling me that Shmuel doesn't hold to Loshon Acharon. He's a Tupac, except that he doesn't hold the way in the Mishnah of Shimon Gamliel. They say that Yachloku, because the way we understood it was because they held the Tzokhet. And therefore, it's Mamma Ramatha Basafik, so it will be Yachloku. He's saying, no, it's a case of Mamma Tzavel of Araya, and only works out Yachloku because you're in mid-month. But the problem is, Shmuel himself, we saw elsewhere, holds that the last words in a deal are the definitive words. Because Rav Shmuel the Amrit Arvayim, if a guy says, Kur b'shloshim ani mocher lecha, I'm selling you a kur, which is 30 sell, for 30 sell out, and the guy starts now picking up and transferring into his wagon the kur. He's now on the 29th sell. And the guy says, never mind, I changed my mind. I got a better deal. He's a buyer. Wants to say no. He can change his mind. Because a deal is that Mishika only is Kona when you're Moshe the whole thing. You didn't finish being Moshe. But if he says to him, Kur Bishloshim Sa'abisela, Ani Moker Lecho, I'll sell you a kur which is 30 saw, for 30 selah. One selah a saw. Then, Rishon, Rishon, Kana. Each one that he takes, he was already Kana, the guy can't change his mind because he said one for a saw, a selah. So you see that according to Shmuel also we take first Lashon Achara. That's right.
Even though I wasn't
much involved. Yeah, because he made a different deal. Ah, but they, over there is tougher. The point over there is that he's tougher. Shmuel really is Mr. Pak. All Shmuel is saying is, now, so what do you want to say? That he could change his mind? In whose rishus is it right now? He has it. You want to be motzi from him until he could change his mind. He's signing Tvas Lashon Acharon. I don't know. Go prove otherwise. So there, it's not that Shmuel agrees with Rav, it's that Shmuel is saying, since you're tough, it's an economic, a toughie. You know, what was the reason I said over here by the renter? Because he had already eaten half of the month. That's why I said you can't get it out of him. So the same thing is for the buyer. The buyer had already loaded up these 17. I can't get it out from him unless I can prove that it was a deal only on the whole 30.
He's toughest on the 17.
He's toughest on the 17.
And before he was toughest on the 29? Because
it was only a deal for 30. Yeah, there was no double assurance. Rav Nachman Amar, Rav Nachman says, I don't know what this whole discussion is. Karka is always the cheskas balea omedet. I don't care when the guy shows up. I don't care if the guy shows up at the end of the month. The point is that the suffix that we have to discuss, when was that suffix nolad? At the beginning of the month. But at the beginning of the month, he could have gone to court. We would have to determine, does he have to pay or does he not have to pay? What do I care when he gets to court? He gets to court 100 years later. What's the difference? The suffix was, at the beginning of the month, who owes whom? Isn't that right? So if that's the suffix, and then we have a din that the karka is always in the chazak of the owner, so if you want to live in a karka, you'll have to pay. Good by definition. If you live that extra month, you owe them because you have to pay for it. Mm-hmm. From the beginning of the month. That's when we determine the topic.
From the beginning of the month, you
might
say, well, I haven't lived there yet, so I don't know
anything. No, rent is owed to, at the end of the month. Because Aina Mishalem is a little bit soft. However, since the topic as to who would have to pay for who owns this right now, is it me or it's you? That is null at the beginning of the month. And at that point, it's already omed because it's the owner. So if you're going to be sitting in there, you're taking it from the owner. You owe. That's the way we should look at it. Not look at it now that we're the ones that have to determine who pays. Why don't we look at it from your point of view? You're the renter. When you were living in there, did you owe the guy money or did you not? You're taking the land from him, so you owe him money. He could have thrown you out. He didn't throw you out. He could have thrown you out. So at that point, you were living in his house. You got to pay him. Because whoever Lamaisa had the right to throw you out of that house, it's his. And nobody's denying it. If you come at the beginning of the month, even usual. Said, if you would have come at the beginning of the month, he could have thrown you out. So if he didn't throw you out, so therefore you don't owe him the money. It's a major machlokas on how to view the relationship of Bezdin to the monetary fiat. My Kamashman, did Renachman only mean first Lashon Acharon? Kind of the Rav. No. Rav Nachman meant Apagav the Mepach. The Mepach. According to Rav Nachman, it wouldn't make any difference whether you first said $1 a month and then you said $12 a year, or whether you said first $12 a year and then you said $1 a month. It has nothing to do with that issue. That's to do with the issue that I just explained to you. He doesn't think that this is the Klal no get for Lashon Rishon and Lashon Acharon. Even if it's a suffix. The suffix is earlier, not now. The boy named Rav Yana. So here I'm not talking. I'm here I'm not talking. What about where they're arguing about whether the rent had been paid? What's the debt? What do you mean? What's the amos? I don't understand what your question is. Even though Zmano, if we're in the middle of the rental period, Tanina, that's the Parish of Mishnah. Ila Acher Zmano, if you're talking about after the rental period, it's also the Parish of Mishnah. I don't understand what kind of dumb question this is. It's not. Meta Avitok Shloshim Yom. So, okay, this is sort of a half of a year, so, but we're talking about over here a father who was responsible for Pidyon HaBet. This is over here. If he died during the 30 days, the assumption is, the Cheskas Shalonius died, the child has to assume that a Pidyon never took place, because he could have given the coin money in advance, And then if the money is there on the 30th day, then he will be nirta. But the assumption is that he doesn't pay up in advance. The father dies after the 30th day, then the chazaka is that he had been taught of his son, and the boy doesn't have to be taught himself later, unless we know for a fact, let's say the neighbors say, we were present on the father's deathbed, and they said, please see to it that my son is nitsa because I never was taught to him. Fine, so then we'll know that he wasn't taught it. But in any event, we see from here that it's unlikely that a person will pay up a loan or money that he owes in advance. But on the other hand, when he owes money, our assumption is that he pays it up when he has to pay it up. Yeah, the truth is this is a major machlokas amoraim, because this points out that in the end we end up with having shita that a person is sometimes pays up a loan in advance because he wants to get it off of his head. He doesn't like having a loan. So therefore this is not really a good indication, because from here the subject is machalik. The reason the person would not pay up in advance is because it's ridiculous to pay up in advance. He's taking a big chance. First of all, how do you know the baby's going to survive? The baby doesn't survive, he never owes the money. Second of all, but it doesn't help in advance because he won't be bothered. Second of all, if the coin uses up your money, he won't be bothered because the money has to be expanded at the time of the pigeon. So we're going to give him the money in advance, say, hold it for me. Like heck, hold it for me.
That's
the other question that Jason is asking. That's the other problem over here. Also, the guy feels that there's a fear and he wants to do it and he's motivated and so on. But the truth is that this is not a very good riot.
But there's a question over there. One says, I paid it, and the letter says, I didn't get the money. One is owing. So
probably. They'll have to make a shvuah at the end, but that's a shvuah tested for Rabban. However, there are realities, especially among Jews, but they're both telling me. Lo tzricha b'yom de mishlam zimnen. So the case that he was asking was on the last day of the rental. So our question is, b'yovinish the parvim of the mishlam zimnen olo. Is it normal? So our question is, first, are we violating any umdanas over here? An umdanas is an assumption that we can rely on, a psychological assumption that gives us, for all intents and purposes, a chazaka, but this is what happened. Do we violate any assumption in telling the guy, okay, you can swear and be putter because we know nobody ever pays today, or not? Amanu Rabbi Yochanan, says Rabbi Yochanan, that I can prove also from the Mishnah. Sochir Bizmano, somebody who had been hired to do some work, if he now, on that day that he completes his work, claims that he was not paid, and the person who hired him claims that he was paid, the din is that he's nishba venota. He swears that he wasn't paid, and he gets his money, which is a very rare situation. Usually, when you're nishba, it's not to pay. It's not that you swear and you do get paid. So that we list a special list of elu nishbayin venota. This is a very rare situation. Why did we make such a takana? Because the one who hires workers can often get confused. If that's the biggest thing in his mind. He may have 10 employees. So he paid 9 employees, and he thinks he paid this guy. He's to him, and the other guy looks like him. He doesn't know the difference. So therefore, the one who is paid, this is his whole life. If he's telling you he wasn't paid, then we assume that a mistake was made by the guy who's paid. But that means Doc in this case. It's only Sakhir that the Rabbanah said that he now has to respond to that kind of shvua, because a balabayit is usually confused about his workmen. He's got a lot of checks that he's writing out, and therefore we made a special takana to protect the worker. Over here, to get money out of the guy with a shvua, you can't do. You can make a shvua that you're potter. Of course, you would need a shvua pesach, even though we're arguing over here on a kol for a bakol, not on a mode of a mikdash. But in the Rabbanan, we have a shvua pesach. They sort of sick the shvua on you to make sure that there wouldn't be lies. Well, and therefore, You can swear that you paid on that day, because that's what Seif was talking about over here, and you would be part of him.
I will sell from the hem of the world. Period. Not question mark.
Period. Yeah. A Sakhir can swear to take. A Sakhir can swear to be part of him. That's why we need more people like you. We wouldn't have any more problems in the government. Thank you.